Good morning, Saskatchewan. Brent Lauchs filling in today and tomorrow on the Evan Bray Show. Evan will be off the combine and back in the chair here bright and early on Thursday morning. Right now, we're lucky enough to get some time with Andrew Scheer. Of course, Mr. Scheer is the Member of Parliament for Regina Qu'Appelle, Conservative Party of Canada House Leader. And we want to talk about this motion put forth by the Conservative Party yesterday in the House of Commons dealing with Ottawa's oil and gas emissions cap. Mr. Scheer, welcome to the program.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's a beautiful day here in Saskatchewan, and we're on the topic of the oil and gas emissions cap. Now, my understanding of this plan by the Liberal government is that within the next 5 or 6 years or so, they're expecting under this oil and gas emissions cap that emissions would be, 35% below what they were at in 2019? What was the purpose of your party's motion yesterday, and how did the debate go?
Well, we're basically warning Canadians that if this production cap, the Liberals are calling it an emissions cap, but really what it is it's a cap on how much oil and gas can be produced in this country. And if the Liberals keep this policy in place, if Mark Carney keeps Justin Trudeau's policy in place, then that means no new pipelines. You cannot have a production cap and have a new pipeline built because, simply put, a new pipeline that would open up transmission capacity means that there'd be more oil and gas produced, which would then violate this cap. So what we're saying is that the Liberals need to abandon this policy so that we can get off U.S. Dependency for our exports. We can sell our oil and gas to more countries around the world and put steel workers back to work here in Regina and help develop our natural resources all over Western Canada. We put forward the motion yesterday. The vote's going to be today, and we'll see what the Liberals do, but we're calling on them to lift the cap so that we can produce more clean, ethical oil and gas.
And it makes a lot of sense. You think about it as an investor, any private company that is in the business of oil and gas, be it pipelines or exploration, they may be somewhat reluctant to continue that business when they know they're going to be looking at these kind of restrictions on their production.
Well, exactly. What kind of investor is going to choose Canada when he knows that there's a limit on his investment, on what they can produce? In fact, in many cases, it means that they won't be able to have a return on investment because, if you discover a new deposit of oil, if you, tap a new well, you can't do anything with it. So in the meantime, billions of dollars are flowing into the U.S. So yesterday, it was announced that TransCanada, TC Energy, is investing $8.5 billion in the United States, including a pipeline in Virginia. So not only will this production cap not mean an actual reduction in emissions because other countries are going to continue developing their oil and gas, it just means it won't be happening in Canada. So Canadians are going to get hit with the brutal double whammy of emissions going up anyway and investment dollars flowing to other countries. Canada can help lower global emissions by developing more of our oil and especially LNG because we have the highest environmental standards in the world. And so, Conservatives have a very common sense position. Let's bring that investment dollars back home. Let's build pipelines in Canada. Let's develop natural resources in Canada and not see those dollars and jobs go to the United States and countries around the world.
Now, of course, there's people that are saying the oil and gas emissions cap is a step towards reducing the negative pollution and climate change concerns that are out there. So what do you say to those people then? If you want to see this oil and gas emission cap removed, what about the other side of the argument when it comes to environmental matters?
Well, again, the emissions will not actually be lowered. There are pipelines being built in Asia. There's pipelines being built in Africa. There's pipelines being built in the United States. The world is going to consume more oil and gas, not less. What conservatives believe is that if we have that production here at home, if Canadians do it, if we develop the oil and gas deposits here in Canada, we can do it at lower environmental outputs than many, many countries around the world. In fact, I would argue every country around the world. Canada has the best and the brightest in the petrochemical engineering side of things. We've drastically lowered our environmental footprint when it comes to developing oil and gas here in Canada. And so let's do that here at home. We can actually do more to lower global emissions by selling the world more of our LNG. We can get China off of coal-fired power plants. We can get India off of coal power plants. We can sell them our LNG and oil and gas. So our common sense approach would actually be better for the environment. Justin Trudeau and Mark Carney had the carbon tax, the production cap, the No More Pipelines bill, the shipping ban off the West Coast, and Canada's emissions went up. And Canada actually dropped several spots on the global ranking of countries as it relates to CO2 emissions. So with the Liberal policy, we get worse environmental performance and less jobs and less investment. With the Conservative plan, we'll put Canadians back to work, keep those investment dollars in Canada, and by the way, the royalties that go into provincial government coffers to pay for roads, schools, and hospitals.
Andrew Scheer is our guest on this segment of the Evan Bray Show. We're talking about the Conservative Party motion calling on the government to immediately repeal the oil and gas emissions cap. It was debated yesterday, and as you say, it will be voted on today. Was there not a report, I think it was Reuters, had a story earlier this month saying the Carney government was considering dropping this altogether. Anything to that that you're aware of?
Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the talk meets the action. Mark Carney said a lot of things during the election to present himself to Canadians as somehow different than Justin Trudeau, but he's turning out to be just another Liberal. He said we'd have the fastest growing economy. We have the fastest shrinking economy. He said he'd attract more investment. $50 billion of investment have left Canada just since he's become Prime Minister. So, you know, he's pulled a bait and switch on many other issues. It's not surprising to me that he dangles this idea in front of the energy sector or premiers that are interested in developing their natural resources. But until they actually lift the cap, it doesn't matter. So we put this motion forward to kind of lock that in, give Liberals an opportunity today to say, yes, they're going to break from the Justin Trudeau approach to the economy. Or if they vote against our motion, it's a signal that Mark Carney's going to be just like Justin Trudeau. He's going to be just another Liberal. And he might say whatever it takes to get elected, but when the chips are down, he votes to keep in a Trudeau-era policy that's going to keep Western Canadian oil and gas suppressed. We'll find out this afternoon. But, you know, for the sake of national unity, for the sake of economic prosperity in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and Atlantic Canada, by the way, Atlantic Canadian provinces want to develop their natural resources too. We're hoping Liberals will vote for our motion so we can get rid of this really dumb idea once and for all.
I saw some of the numbers coming from the Parliamentary Budget Office as well, where they say if this goes ahead, it would mean the loss of about 54,000 jobs within about 6 years' time and a reduction in the gross domestic product to the tune of about $20 billion. So looking at those numbers, I could see where a lot of people would say, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Yeah, it's really the only industry in Canada that the government has said can't grow. You know, this there's lots of industries in Canada that result in CO2 emissions. They are only really targeting this one with this kind of a hard cap on growth. And as you point out, this isn't just a small number. These aren't numbers that the Canadian economy can absorb very easily. We're talking billions and billions of dollars of economic activity. What does that mean for people? Well, you know, here in Regina, we have a steel plant that makes the large diameter pipes for pipeline projects. So there are direct job losses linked to this production cap. The provincial governments of literally every province is affected by this cap. That means that fewer dollars to collect in royalties for profitable companies mean governments got to find other places to fund schools and roads and hospitals. So these aren't just GDP numbers on a spreadsheet. These are real human beings whose lives and their livelihoods depend on this. And it's real big dollars for provincial governments to fund important social services. So lifting this cap is good for the environment. It's good for workers. It's good for social services here in Canada. And we're hoping that the Liberals will see the light and abandon this policy.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on the House of Commons in this afternoon for the vote on that Conservative motion. And Andrew Scheer, I appreciate your time on our program here today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Andrew Scheer joining us, talking about the Conservative motion that was put forth in the House of Commons yesterday, asking the government to repeal the oil and gas emissions cap. A lot of debate on it, and the vote on that in the House of Commons will be happening today. Brent Laux with you. You're listening to the Evan Bray Show. Thanks for joining us on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Don't let nothing get in the way. Dance all night. Keep the beat.
Good morning, Brent Laux with you. Evan Bray Show. I'm the lucky guy that gets to fill in while Evan's out on the farm helping his family with harvest. He'll be back in the chair here on Thursday morning. Thanks to Andrew Scheer, who joined us just a few minutes ago and was talking about the conservative motion that was put forth in the House of Commons yesterday, calling on the federal government to repeal the oil and gas cap legislation. Lots of debate. And I don't imagine it's going to pass, but they will vote later today. And as I'd mentioned earlier, there had been a report in the media earlier this month. Reuters carried the story, saying they had sources in the Carney government that had indicated to them the government was going to move to drop the oil and gas cap. So we'll see what happens through the course of the day today with the vote in the House of Commons, and on that topic, what may come in the coming days from the Carney government. I'd mentioned this before the top of the hour. Have you applied for your bread rebate? Remember this? It goes back a few years ago where the major grocery chains were accused of fixing the price of bread. And so there was a class action lawsuit, and at the end of the day, the courts decreed that there would be a $500 million settlement related to the alleged industry-wide price fixing of bread. And that meant that any Canadian resident who purchased bread for their personal use, be it bag bread, buns, rolls, bagels, naan, English muffins, pita, tortillas, muffins. If you bought any of those products between 2001 and 2021, you can apply for compensation. And you may think, well, gee, like who's got their grocery receipts? No receipts are required. Now, they initially, when they made this known here a few months ago that people could go online and apply for their share of the settlement, they were expecting millions of Canadians would jump on board. That hasn't happened. There's, you know, a good number of Canadians have applied, but there is a deadline coming up in December, by December 12th. So you've got the month of October, you got the month of November, so you got about 2.5 months remaining to get your application in. But so far, fewer than a million people have applied. They say, and when I say they, it's a news report talking about bread class action. They say the average Canadian, upon applying and approved, would potentially get about $100. Who couldn't use $100 these days? And I'm guessing it may be that if there's more than one adult in the household, maybe each adult can apply, but the claims process is open, and you can go online to their website, CanadianBreadSettlement.ca, all one word, CanadianBreadSettlement.ca. I haven't filled out the application myself. I'm going to. Who couldn't use $100, right? I've seen some people on social media. It's interesting when you go do an online application, some people saying, oh, it's too difficult, I wasn't able to do it, blah, blah, blah. And then I see other people say, oh, it was quick, it was easy, I was able to get my application in, and now I'll wait. They say it may take a number of weeks before you get, and they say it'll either be checks or electronic funds transfer, so you could get an e-transfer once your application has been approved, but why not check it out? Could be some extra cash in your pocket. And again, the website to fill out your application and get it in before December 12th is CanadianBreadSettlement.ca. 25 after the hour. News coming up at the bottom of the hour after 9:30. We've got Heather Stewart is going to join us here, and this is such an important topic. We think about young people, we think about their mental health. Young people turning to artificial intelligence for counseling, for support, is that a good idea? Are there risks involved with this? Heather Stewart is the chair of the Bell Canada Mental Health and Anti-Stigma Research. She's also a professor in the Department of Public Health Sciences at Queen University, and we're going to ask her about AI. Is it a good thing that people, especially young people who are struggling with mental health issues, should they be sharing that information with AI? Are there good stories to this? Are there negative stories? We'll find out here coming up just after 9:30 this morning. As I say, we've got a busy morning on the go. We're working on, I don't know that we're going to get someone, but we're working on a possible guest here later this morning. We've got our producers working on it. The comments that were made by U.S. President Trump yesterday relating to the use of Tylenol by pregnant women and all of this supposedly connected to autism. And there's a lot of talk on that these days. We're going to be hopefully getting a guest on to talk about what people need to know about the president's comments. Are there actual safety concerns? Is there a connection between Tylenol and the increase of autism in youngsters? As I say, we'll work on getting a guest to talk more about that. If not today, then certainly tomorrow. Saskatchewan's John Howard Society does great work helping people get their lives in order after dealing with the law. But what about people who have run afoul of the law and have a criminal record? But they're out of jail, they've served their time, they've done whatever it is in the community, and they want to get a job. They want to perhaps improve their lot in life. It becomes difficult when they've got a criminal record. You think about a lot of employers when they're hiring people, and they say, well, you got a criminal record. I'm sorry, no, we've got to find someone else in this position. Well, the John Howard Society has a program that helps these people make a fresh start. It's a criminal record suspension program. We'll get the details on that coming up after 10:30 today. Charlie Angus is in our province, former NDP MP. He's kind of stirring things up a little bit these days as he's posted some interesting social media directed at the U.S. ambassador to Canada. Charlie Angus is in Regina tonight. He's going to be speaking at the University of Regina from 7 till 9. And it's interesting, his mindset these days, he's no longer a politician. He was an NDP MP for about 20 years in Ontario, but he's stirring things up a little bit across the country. We'll check in with Charlie Angus coming up here. We'll do that within the next half hour or so on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Lots of texts coming in, not only on the CFL changes that were announced yesterday, but also on some of the conversations we've been having. I just had one from Jeff in Regina. Jeff says he applied last week for the bread. he says all you get is a $25 gift card for the bread scandal. He applied last week. Have you got it yet, Brett? Or did they tell you in your application that that's what you'd receive? You know, $25 is still $25, right? But the one article I had read indicated you might get upwards of $100. We'll see how it plays out. But thanks for that information, Jeff, at 1-877-332-8255. Other comments that are coming in? Some taking issue with our comments earlier when we were discussing the changes in the CFL. Brandon says, these changes are good. Come on, people. The goalpost getting in the way was goofy. And the field being 10 yards shorter. 10 yards! That's nothing. We still have the wide field and players in forward motion pre-snap. That's what makes it Canadian football. The balls are bigger, too. An extra player on the field. That's what makes it Canadian. That's from our listener Brandon up in PA. Thanks for listening in today. It's the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.